Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Mem Beis. We started today the fourth parak of Erevin, and today begins a discussion of Tchum Shabbos. Now, the truth of the matter is, in the third parak we talk about Tchum, but we talked about Tchum not so much from a linear perspective, but rather just from a how to do it. How do you set up your Tchum? What foods do you use? Can I appoint a shliach to do so? Can I make an Erev with my raglayim? In other words, it was the how to make an Erev Tchum. But here now, we're going to actually discuss the Tchum itself, meaning how exactly does the Tchum Shabbos work? It's a very spatial parak. If you're good with space and you understand dimensions, you're going to love this parak. What if you're spatially challenged? So you're going to have some challenges with this parak. But okay. But in the meantime, however, we are going to be starting today from the beginning of the parak. That means we're behind, but it's okay. We'll make time to catch up. And the fourth parak deals with the actual linear measurement of tchum, and the fifth parak also continues with this discussion of tchum. So we'll be on the topic of tchum for some time, and not until we get to the sixth parak of Erevin do we begin Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres is really not for another two more parakim. Okay. Let's go off, before we start with the actual parak itself, let's go over some basics. Okay, first of all, Tchum Shabbos to begin with is a Din D'Rabban. Now, we already exposed ourselves to the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir, who says that Tchum is D'Araisa, but Tchum is a D'Rabbanan. We could call it a stronger D'Rabbanan. It's based on Pesukim and Chumash, Parshas B'Shalach, Ayatzei Ishmim Kamo, a person's not allowed to leave his place, meaning on Shabbos, you are confined, you are circumscribed to a certain place. Now, by the way, let's just keep everything in mind over here. When we talk about Tchum Shabbos, we're not talking about carrying on Shabbos, meaning Tchum Shabbos is literally the place that your border. You have created borders on Shabbos, where you cannot travel beyond the borders of Shabbos. So it's not this is not a discussion of carrying. This is a discussion of where you can go and where you cannot go. Okay, so we said maybe we want to call it a strong derabbanan, but nevertheless, so. And you'll see today, is it going to be a briar brewer today? That's a din derabbanan. It's clearly a rabbinic law that you cannot go. Where can't you go? So, 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas is a magic number in terms of how far tchum extends. 2,000 amas, just so that you can visualize, is basically a kilometer. Okay, essentially. Every amma is somewhere between a foot and a half to 2 feet. So if you want to just to make math easy for you and life easy for you, 2,000 amma is about 4,000 feet. Okay, it's more than a kilometer, less than a mile, but whatever. If you want just to conceptualize. 2,000 amma is from where? Okay, so that's a good question. And the basic rule of thumb is as follows. If you're in a city... Now, does this city need walls? Does it not need walls? Okay, right. Another detailed discussion. But in other words, if you're within a city, your tchum doesn't start. It doesn't start until the edge of the city. Okay, so that means then if you live in a large city, so your 2,000 tchum count doesn't actually start until you get to the edge. We're going to be discussing in the sixth parak of Erevin. Sorry, the fifth parak of Erevin. We're going to be discussing how exactly do you make the edge around the city. Okay, but a lot of details to cover in terms of how to. This is really we're engineers right now. We're surveying, so we'll talk later on about how to actually make the edge around the city. But in other words, your tchum doesn't start till outside the city. Once you're outside the city, now you're on a step count where you can only go 2,000 amas beyond the city. What if you're not within a city? Meaning you kind of just started Shabbos in the middle of nowhere. Here I mean literally the middle of nowhere. So let's say you don't have a city. So what do you have? So you have 4 amas. You have 4 amas, and now your tchum Shabbos begins basically from where you're standing. Okay, right? You do get 4 amas. Exactly how those 4 amas work? Are you in the center of those 4 amas? 4 amas in every direction. Okay, again, more details, and that's why there's a lot to cover in this parak.
Is that souls for the 2,000?
Again, it's the din derabbanan.
So now, they just made it up. I mean, is there any reason?
They right. Where in other words, right? We understand the chachamim usually base it on something. Right. So where the number actually comes from, I don't know. It's a fair question, and I do not know. So so if let's say you start in the middle of nowhere. So good. So you basically have your dalet amos, and then from there you have 2,000 amos. Okay. What if you go outside of tchum? Okay, I mean, what if? As a rabbi in school, you know, the what if questions are usually out of the question. You know, don't ask me what ifs. But I have a prepared answer because it's our Mishnah. It's the first Mishnah in the parak. So what if you go outside of Tchum? So essentially now, once you're outside of Tchum, you're stuck. you can't go anywhere because you left chum. And correct. So in other words, you'll get four amos because every person has four amos, but basically once you leave chum, you're stuck. Okay, obviously, dealing with the person who cares, meaning once he was told he left chum, now I'm stuck, and it'll be a very lonely and quiet Shabbos for him, where he's just stuck in the middle of nowhere because he was left chum. What if you were forced out of chum? Good, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah today is going to be dealing with, you know how these Mishnayos work, when we're discussing an issue, the larger issues, the more basic issues, that comes up later. In other words, you're going to find this time and again as you learn, as you go through the Gemara and the Mishnayos. We're dealing right now with a very small point within the whole world of Tchum. What if you were forced out of Tchum? Okay, that's going to be our issue. That's going to be our first discussion of the fourth parak of Erevin. And let's begin. We start with the Mishnah 1, Mem Aleph Amud Beis. And the Mishnah begins, Misha Otsio Nachrim Aruch Ra, Ein Lo Ala Dal Amos. So let's say you were forced out. Okay? Seems a bit unfair, but in other words, you weren't involved in the decision making of leaving your tchum. The Mishnah here gives two examples of how you were forced out of your tchum. Either you have Nachrim who are dragging you out of your tchum, or Ruach Ra. Ruach Ra, you were possessed. Right? Rashi says, Nichnas Lo Shade, Venitrafa Dato. Okay, now I understand modern psychology has a slightly different understanding of how people get insane, but in other words, either way, the person went into some sort of momentary fit of insanity and left chum. And then, after having left chum, now he realizes he makes a full mental recovery. And now he realizes that it's chumor. In the first case, Nachrim took him out. He knew the whole time he was being dragged out. Ein lo ala dal amos. Okay, so once again, now you're stuck. You know, you're outside of your chum now, and all you have is four amos. Ekziru ki lo yatsa. Now, if they drag you back in, now the wording of the Mishnah is really important. The wording of the Mishnah is hechziruhu. That means that you didn't walk back in, obviously, because you're not allowed to walk back in. If you were dragged back in, either through the Nachrim or through your very delicate mental state, so ki'ilu lo yatsa, so you're good. You're like you're back to new. Holichu le'ir acheres. Let's say the following. Let's say they took you out and they didn't bring you back to your original tchum, but they put you in a city. They put you in another city, Bedira, Besohar, any type of enclosure. And so now you know you have Dalet Amos. But can we make the following argument? Can we say, I know I have Dalet Amos, but I'm in a new enclosure? Perhaps now I can walk at least through the entirety of this new enclosure that I'm in. What do we have over here? A basic machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omrim, Mahalach is Kula. So the position of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, from this point going forward, we're just going to call it the Shita Rabbi Gamliel. No disrespect to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, just for the sake of brevity. So we're going to call it the Shita Rabbi Gamliel is, you have the entirety of that new enclosure that you're in. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva Amrim Ein Lo Ala Dal Amos. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva says, no, you only have four Amos, meaning you left your tchum. Again, in this case, you didn't even leave it. You're dragged out of your tchum, it doesn't matter. Once you're dragged out of your tchum, you cannot create a new Makom Shrisa, meaning you don't have a new entity. And so even if you're in an enclosure, that enclosure does not redefine the fact that you left chum, and therefore all you have is dal amos for the remainder of that Shabbos.
But the Rambam says that he's in a different reshut at this point. So
right.
Right. That
so later on this morning, hopefully we'll get to it. We're going to hopefully gain a better understanding of what this machlokas is between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. But for the time being, though, correct meaning, Rabbi Gamliel basically says, "Look, you're in an encircled area, an inscribed area. You got that. You got it." Maisa Shabao. So the Gemara is going to relate the following story. Couple stories. Maisa Shabao mi pal darsin. Okay. Obviously, I never heard of it. V'hifligu sfina sambayam. So, they came to this port, and what happened was that they started Shabbos ship connected to the port. So, in other words, their makom shvisa was actually at the port. And what happened is, somebody untied the rope, and the ship started floating. Now remember, tchum is a linear measurement. It does not matter whether you're on land or on sea. Meaning, once you have now left Chum, you're outside of Chum.
But aren't they, if they're on a ship, aren't they in common lead in the sea?
Makom Shvisa is a point on the map.
No, but the thing is that the domain that they're in common lead, no, they're not in the... Oh, it doesn't matter.
It's a linear measurement. It simply does not matter.
If somebody was on the sea, they would have
that. Well, that's going to be our second. That's going to be our second case. Okay. So the ifligus we know some bayam, and so now they're drifting. I mean, Gamaliel. Now, and let's take it to its logical conclusion. They drifted outside of Tchum, so they started at a particular point at the port. Now they're drifting off in the boat at sea. They now have left their Tchum. This is by force, obviously. They didn't want the boat to go out there on Shabbos, but now they're outside their Tchum. So now, can you at least walk throughout the parameters of the boat? The boat's an enclosed area, so can at least they, you know, walk on the boat? Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Halchus Kula. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Lo Zazu, Midal Ramos. Sheras Elahachmi Alatmam. So we have over here a basic machlokus now, as the Gemara presented just a moment ago. Where Rabbi Gamliel, together with the Rav Elazar ben Azariah, says, look, we're outside of Tchum, but we're within a confined area. So we get to walk throughout the entirety of the area. And Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Kiva saying, no, once you left Tchum, it doesn't matter. You no longer have any latitude. You can't walk at all. All you have is Dalat Amos, even though they're on the boat, even though they're in an enclosed area, it does not matter. So the language of the Mishnah is obviously very interesting. Ratzel ha-hachmir al-atzman. I mean, they want to be machmir. What does that mean, they want to be machmir? Right, I mean, don't they feel that that's the halacha? Okay. So, wait, we will attack that later on. Pamachas lo-nichnasu l-anama achich ha-shecha. Now let's go the other way. Where Shabbos started, and they were on the boat, and they were drifting towards port. But in other words, they were out at sea. Amru lo l'Rabbi Gamliel, and by the way, I'm sorry, and on Shabbos, they arrived at port. But in other words, after the Banish Mashal's period, they arrived at port. So now again, it's the same basic issue, in that there, where does the Makom Shvisa begin? It's a point on the map. Meaning, the fact that the boat is moving doesn't change the fact that their beginning of Shabbos, they were, in other words, put your finger right on the map, they were here. And so now, as they're drifting to port, so the question becomes, have they left Tchum? And if they did leave Tchum, Shabbos, so then Rabbi Gamliel would allow you to walk around the entirety of the boat, as we just learned. But you can't get off the boat. So, give me a moment. Pamachas onichlus l'nam achich hashecha. Amr lo l'Rabbi Gamliel ma'anu le'reid. So they all turn to Rabbi Gamliel. This is story number two. Can we get off the boat? Amr lehem mutar matem. So his response is, yes. Why? Shekvar ha'isi mistakel v'ayinu betoch ha'tchum achalo hashecha. Because the Gemara says, he somehow figured out that when the Shabbos started, meaning during the Banish Mashal's period, when you're koning your Makom Shvisa, they were within Tchum of the port. Stay tuned later on, we're going to discuss and have a very interesting discussion of how he knew that. But he knew it. In other words, right now, let's just assume that he knew it. And they were. In other words, the answer really is, you don't even have to ask me the question because we were within Tchum. Okay.
Here's a story. I mean, let's say you go on this Carnival cruise line that's huge, like 10,000 numbers.
Yeah, yeah, right?
The question is, which plane do you establish your tchum on? Are you on the plane of the ship?
Right.
Because that's a higher plane than on land. So the question is, how do you establish your tchum?
I mean, essentially,
feet touch the ground, or is it?
I understand that, but basically, in other words, if we can, you basically, I mean, I'd say a pin on the map, but I understand we're talking about a person in a boat, but basically, you put your finger down wherever you are, meaning can your Makom Shvisa be not directly underneath you? Sure, but that can only be done with Kavana. In other words, but the default assumption is that where you're standing, that's where Tchum begins. And once the boat's in motion, now you're drifting away from your Tchum.
But the issue that I think complicates it is the fact that you're establishing a higher plane that you're on.
I understand what your point is, but in other words, essentially, from these two stories, it seems very clear. You're pointing to a bigger boat, so you're trying to make an argument that, okay, now it's different. But basically, from what it is
question. How do you establish tikkun? Is tikkun where your feet touch the ground, or
right.
where
it seems to
is?
Be a longitudinal, latitudinal point on the map where that's it. In other words,
if you're in the middle cruise, like in the middle of the ocean,
right. You know, in other words, your tchum is from where you started Shabbos. Now you moved, meaning I know the boat moved. You didn't do anything. The boat moved, but the boat is now taking you outside of your tchum. So again, so according, okay, that's all right. Well, already that already were.
If you're going down the boat,
okay, fine. That's good.
Tuesday,
good.
You're in the middle of
okay, all
the ocean.
Good. All right. The cruise questions will be fielded at another point in time. I'm not. You'll forgive me. I'm not fielding the cruise questions for today. So okay, good. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to start the Gemara, and we're going to start the Gemara, and the Gemara's going to bring us back to the halachic aspects. But before we get to halacha, we're treating the beginning of the perek with. It's not a god. It's more like just lessons of life. Tana Rabbanan Gimel Dvarim Ma'avir Nesa Adam Al Da'at Tov Ve'Adas Kono. Our Mishnah did mention about a person going insane. We get to Gittin. We're going to discuss insanity at length. Seventh. I know. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, seventh parak of Gittin. All right. Anyway, that's the beginning of the seventh parak, right? Yeah.
So you don't mention so the here at all.
The
onus has no.
Oh, what?
When the guy's kidnapped, that's not an onus?
It sure is. So Tana Rabbanan Gimel Dvarim Ma'avir Nesa Adam Al Da'aso Ve'Al Da'as Kono. So causes of insanity. So again, the clinician will give his explanation, and the Gemara is going to give its explanation. So Elohein Ovde Kochavim Veruach Ra V'Diktuke Aniyah. So the Gemara says that things that can make you insane Ovde Kochavim. Now the Gemara throws around the term. We don't know exactly if it's referring to like a real idolater. Okay, but anyway, Ruach Ra and Dikduke Anios. Okay, three things that really make a person insane, Ruach Ra, an evil spirit, and Dikduke Anios, and someone who's suffering from extreme poverty, meaning extreme poverty is certainly an understandable cause of insanity. Now you know how to daven, meaning, you obviously want to be of mental health, and you want to now pray for your mental health, you know exactly what to pray for. You ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't let me be affected by any of these three things. Gimel Ein Roen Pnei Gehenim. We recently had a discussion of Gehenim, right? The seven names of Gehenim came up earlier in the Masechta. So the Gemara over here discusses three people don't even see Pnei Gehenim. Good. So in other words, the assumption is, sounds like from the Gemara, everyone's going to get some view of it, some form of it, but three people won't even see it. Basically, people who suffered in this world. The Gemara points to three types of suffering. Number one, dikduke anios, which, by the way, if you'll notice, in other words, is what the Gemara said just a moment ago, causes insanity, but at the same time, anero pene ganim. Chole me'ayin, GI issues, right? Especially as Ashkenazic Jews, we are all too knowledgeable about it. But the Gemara many times describes Chole Me'ayin as being one of the most painful types of illnesses that a person can suffer. And basically, I mean, the simple pshat of the Gemara is that because of all the suffering that he endured in this world, so he's got no Gehenim that he needs to experience. And Rishus. Rishus could mean a bunch of things.
They say creditors.
Yeah. So Rashi, it's the first Rashi on the Gemara. So Rashi says, Mishei Yishlo Noshim. Right, someone who's got creditors. Okay, someone who's in debt. Okay, so when you're in debt, right? What does the pasuk say? Adam, Eved Adam leish love, that you end up becoming basically a slave to your creditor, and so you're basically in servitude. You're in perpetual servitude. Okay, and it's a misery. Rishus, remember the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, right? In fact, Tosos brings it down. Right, Havizi here in Bereshus. It means like the authority, it means the government. Meaning don't be involved in the government. Stay away from the government. And if you have any type of dealings with the government, again, it's painful, it's suffering, and that's it. Your Gehenim has been being taken care of. V'yesh omrim af mi shiish lo isha ra'a. A fourth consideration, someone who never gets to see Gehenim is someone who gets to live with an isha ra'a. V'idach, now, interesting, the Gemara wants to know. The Gemara wants to know, you know, in the original listing, so isha ra'a was not. So in other words, what was the Tanna Kamma's position? Meaning the Tanna Kamma obviously felt isha ra'a is not, in other words, even though you have an isha ra'a, so you suffered your whole life with this isha ra'a. And so why doesn't the Tanna Kamma add that to the list of people who don't get to see Gehenna? Isha ra'a, mitzvah lagarsha. So the Tanna Kamma is of the opinion, look, you have an isha ra'a, you have a problem, but you have a built-in solution. Meaning, if you got GI problems, so, you know, I'm not the doctor here, but, you know, you say, heart, you know, not a great prognosis. But, isha ra'a, okay, solution is divorce. So the idach, and by the way, you read the Gemara carefully, mitzvah lagarsha, meaning it's not just, you know, you should. The idach zimen diksivas amiruba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the yesh omrim who added the isha ra'a says, look, sometimes you can't. First of all, it'll cost too much to divorce them. Maybe the ksuva is an exorbitant ksuva. Inam isle banimina, or you have children and you can't divorce because of the children. So now, good question. Great discussion of the Gemara. Great way to start the fourth parak. But here, like lamaisa, meaning we're learning Gemara right now. Practically speaking, what does that mean? You're suffering from cholim haim. There's nothing you can do about it. So why bother? Why bother discussing it? So the Gemara says, look, bulimi hava, attitude. Because once you know that you're suffering cholim haim, you're suffering from stomach illness. And so now you think to yourself, like, why am I going through this? No. And the Gemara is basically saying, now there's a purpose. There's a purpose for why you're going through this. And so now your attitude is going to totally change. In other words, you now know you're one of those people, special people in the world, that are not going to see Pnei Gehenim. So, Kabbalah's Mi'ava. Your entire attitude will change. Shalom Mason, Kishem, and Saprin, Ve'elohain. Three people are going to die basically instantaneously, meaning while they're talking. They didn't see it coming. So in other words, these are people that are in such delicate, fragile condition that really they could die at any point in time. Someone who's suffering from the cholim haim, the stomach illnesses, chaya, woman who's just given birth, and hidarkon, we see that a number of times throughout the Gemara. It's a form of jaundice, although I don't think that's really what, you know, a good way to translate it. Either way, point is, very delicate, very fragile state. Lamai nafkamina. So again, practically speaking, what does that mean? So good. We don't know when you're going to die. But lamaisa, what does that mean? So the Gemara says lamamush mebuhuz avdasa. So basically, if you know that you're now in this fragile condition, and really death can happen at any point in time, so prepare. Meaning, when I say prepare, I mean we're all preparing. But I'm saying, but the Gemara is telling us, like take preparation seriously. Tachrichin. Right, death shrouds, meaning it's imminent. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel, Yatzal Adasin Lalar Bamas. Okay, now, we go back to our Mishnah, and now for the rest of today, halachic discussion. And what do we see in our Mishnah? Once you're dragged out of your dollar, of your 2,000 Amos, beyond your 2,000 Amos, so you are stuck. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel, Yatzal Adasin Lalar Bamas. Okay? Let's say you go outside of Tchum on your own volition. You decide that for whatever reason you're going outside Tchum. Okay. Religious issues, whatever the case is. And then you realize it. I mean, you did it. And now you have, yeah. And now you basically say, you know what? I left Tchum. I shouldn't have. What's my story? So Rav Nachman says, you're stuck. So the Gemara says, look, that's great, but we knew that before Rav Nachman made the statement. So Pshita Hashta Mishotia Nachimin Ladamas Yatzal Das Mibaye. It's a real logical conclusion. Our Mishnah describes somebody who was dragged out of his 2,000 Amos, and that person stuck. So the person does it on his own volition? Sure. It's not even what was even the point of that statement that was so obvious? Elaima Chazaladas. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what the point of the statement is. Let's say he walks back into his tchum on his own volition. No. In other words, he doesn't get to reestablish his tchum. So the Gemara says, "Anami tanina." What do you mean? Read our Mishnah. Isn't that clear from our Mishnah? Hechziru nachriim kilo lo yatsa. Hechziru hu de kilo lo yatsa vahotzio nachriim vechazal da saying lo. Ela dala amos. Meaning, if you look at the Mishnah and you just simply put together the story behind the Mishnah talks about being A, dragged out of your tchum, and B, being dragged back in. A simple reading of the Mishnah leads us to the conclusion that if you walk back in on your own, you don't reestablish. So once again, the question is, why do I need Rav Nachman? What I have are statements of Rav Nachman that anyone who reads the Mishnah would have figured out on their own. So So the Gemara says, how about this? Maybe the statement of Rav Nachman is that you walked out on your own and you were dragged back in. Okay? You don't get to reestablish your tchum, your original tchum. Hanami tanina. Again, the Gemara says, read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah records the halacha, the Mishnah says you were A, dragged out, and B, dragged back in. So again, a simple reading of the Mishnah indicates that in order for you to be able to resume your original Tchum Shabbos, you have to have been forced out and in. And so once again, these statements of Rav Nachman seem to be just simple pshat in our Mishnah. And again, the question is, what's Rav Nachman gaining for us? Would you just give me a moment, let's just finish. So the Gemara says, well, what you could have done is you could have been a little more creative about how you read the Mishnah. And basically, when you read the Mishnah, you could have read it segmented, which is, non-Jews drag you out. You walk back in on your own, you don't get dalamas. But if you go on your own and the Nachrim dragged you back in, kilo yatsa. Meaning, the Mishnah is not giving us one scenario, the Mishnah is giving us multiple scenarios by which now we can basically conquer and divide the Mishnah. And now the Mishnah is not dealing with the case of where you walk out and the Nachrim drag you back in. You could have read the Mishnah that way, and therefore you could have concluded that if you walked out on your own and you were dragged back in, you get to reestablish your original tchum, kamash malan, the chiddush is, or Rav Nachman, that may be a creative way to read the Mishnah, but that's not a correct way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving us one scenario in which you can actually reestablish your original tchum, and that is by being dragged out and dragged back in.
When you say reestablish your tchum, I mean, are you allowed under any circumstance to establish a tchum on Shabbat?
No. In other words, you'll never, once you have one makom shvisa, that's it. You only have one.
No, but
when I say reestablish, I mean go back to the original tchum that you started off Shabbos with. And the only scenario in which that can happen is if you were dragged out and dragged back in.
But the question is, once you have left the boundary of that tchum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you lost that as your tchum?
Right. So under
so
most
to go back under any circumstances.
Okay, good. So
we're not going to
disagree a whole lot. Meaning, under most circumstances, you're absolutely right. And under the one limited circumstance where you were dragged down, dragged back in, so then you get it back. Okay, but in other words, you're basically right. Okay. Right, if you go back to the days when you were in school and you were in class and you wanted to be out of there like nobody's business. So what did you do? There was a classic excuse. I have to go to the bathroom. Okay? The beauty of having only 40-minute periods is that you get to go to the bathroom 11 times a day, 12 times a day. So it's unbelievable. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. So now, let's say you are outside of your tchum and you need to go to the bathroom. And it's just simply not within human dignity to go where you're standing right now. In other words, you want a private place. So for the purposes of covered habrios, can I walk outside of my tchum? Not my tchum, I'm sorry. Walk out of my newly established four amos. So mahu, amlam, gadol covered habrios, shadocha es losa seisha b'torah. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about covered habrios. Covered habrios is a big deal. Right, we just had in Brachos. It comes up time and again throughout Shas. We had in Shabbos a number of times. So the covenant of brios is a huge deal. Human dignity can override a derabbanan. As we start off the parak, and I told you we're going to see clearly today, here it is, right? Tchum is a din derabbanan. So now you walked outside of Tchum, you're stuck in your forearms, that's a din derabbanan. So now you need to go to the bathroom, and you need a private area. You need to promote, to preserve your human dignity. Good. So now you can actually walk outside these dalamas now. Now, Amri Nardai, so Nardai says basically, good. Now that you know this, so Ipikechu Ayel Tchuma V'kevin Da'al Al. So the Yeshiva of Nardai says, once you have now, within your right, you had full permission to walk out of your new Dalet Amos in order to go to the bathroom. So if you're smart, and you learned today's daf, and you remembered today's daf, so now basically you can walk back into Tchum. Because now you have a legitimate right to walk outside of those Dalet Amos, meaning going, the need to go to the bathroom is basically tantamount to having Nachrim drag you back into Tchum. I mean, right, it's onus. And so therefore now you can go back into your Tchum and go back to your original Makam Shvisa. Amra Papa, okay, good. That is so far so good. And now things are going to get a little tricky. Okay, I'd say the tough part of today's daf is coming up right now. We know that you have a point of center in which basically now you cannot walk beyond 2,000 amos, either where you are from the outskirts of the city. Good. Did you know we're going to be discussing a lot of this? Not only are you circumscribed within a tchum, but objects also on Shabbos and on Yontiv are also confined to tchum. So in other words, the halacha of tchum is not just limited to you, it also applies to all objects on Shabbos and on Yontiv, food as well. Okay? So that now means, now how does its tchum get established? So usually the answer to that question is going to be ownership. Meaning whoever owns it, whatever his tchum is, that's going to be the tchum of his fruit. What if they're ownerless items? We'll discuss that later on in the Masechta. That's going to be a discussion. Amar Papa Perish Yasser Chutz. So on Shabbos, you're right, but on Yontif you can carry it. Yontif is an interesting phenomenon. Yontif, you have permission to carry, but you're still circumscribed by Tchum. Now, that wasn't my original thought. Rashi says that right over here. But it's an excellent point, and I should have made that clear to begin with. Amar Papa Perish Yasser Chutz Tchum V'chazru. Afilu b'mezid lo hifsidu es mekoman. So Rav Papa says that if you have fruit that leave tchum and come back, even b'mezid. Now, obviously, we can't assign intent to a fruit. In other words, fruit spoil, but fruit, you know, don't give you any attitude. So when Rav Papa over here is talking about b'mezid, it means the person carrying the fruit knowing full well about Tchum Shabbos, knowing full well that the fruit can't go beyond this particular point, takes it outside of Tchum, brings it back in. Rav Papa says, "Lo ifsidu es makoman," the fruit get to be enjoy the original Tchum that it had. Essentially, what Rav Papa is saying is the fruit is an anus. Now, I can't imagine where in my life I would make such a statement outside of the daf, right? Where basically it was a victimized fruit. But that's essentially what Rav Papa is saying. It's just like the person who was taken out and brought back in. That person gets to enjoy his original Tchum Shabbos. Same story says Rav Papa regarding the fruit. My time, I know some ninu. And it's not me who says it, Rav Papa says it. It's anus. Anus api adibor. Okay, not exactly, but okay, if you get the reference, great. Ezer, Rav Yosef Bar Shmuel, Rav Papa. So now the Gemara challenges Rav Papa based on the following. We have a brayso, Rav Nechemiah, Rav Elazar, Ben Yaakov, Armim, La'olam Asur, Mashiach, Zulim, Kamim, Shogigin. The brayso quotes, this is Tanaim. The brayso quotes Tanaim say that the only way that the fruit gets to enjoy its original status, its original tchum, is only if it comes back in b'shogeg. Not b'mezid. And I know that's bizarre. We're talking about fruit, but still. So b'shogeg in b'mezid lo. So now, once you know the braisa, Rav Papa's no legs to stand on because Rav Papa's an amora. What is he going to do? He's going to argue with a braisa? He can't do that. So Tanahi. So the Gemara says, okay. In Rav Papa's defense, what he'll say is, look, you're right. Right, Rav Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer, they don't I don't follow them, but I follow other Tanaim, and now the Gemara is going to explain. Here we have a Braisa. If I have fruit that leaves Tchum. If they leave Tchum B'shogeg, I can eat it. If they leave Amazel, I can't eat it. Now, by the way, the Gemara just subtly shifted the discussion from carrying to eating. But we're going to assume Hainuhach, meaning it's basically the same basic point. Meaning, right, if you can't carry it, exactly. If you can't carry it, you can't benefit from it. So, I'm just pointing, I'm highlighting that really we made a subtle shift. So according to the Tanakhama, when the fruit leave your tchum and it happens b'shogeg, you can eat it. If it happens b'mezel, you can't eat it. Rabbi Nechemya Omer b'mkamam yochlu shelo b'mkamam lo yochlu. Rabbi Nechemya says that if it's in its original place, you can eat it, and if it's not in its original place, you can't eat it. So now in this Braisa, it's a confusing Braisa. There doesn't seem to be any give and take. Meaning, the first point, the Tanakam is talking about, if it's taken out of Tchum, so it depends, Shogeg versus Mezid. And then Reb Nechemya says, well, if it's brought back, meaning, where's the debate in this Braisa? And the Gemara is going to try to uncover that. And this is where it gets a little confusing. So my bim koman. So first of all, that position of Reb Nechemya, when he says bim koman, what does that mean? Elam bim koman memezid, meaning we know what it means. It means it went out and it came back in. But how did it come back in? If it means with intent, v'haktan behedja, Reb Nechemya, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, amrim lo olam aser machi achzulim koman shogegim b'shogegim memezid lo. Yeah, but go back to where we started this discussion on the bottom of the previous amud, where we saw Reb Nechemya say that the only way the fruit can reestablish its chum is only if it's brought back in b'shogeg. So when in this braisa, Reb Nechemya says bim koman, you can eat it. That's only if it's brought back in b'shogeg. So the Gemara says we're missing a chunk of this Braisa because we really at this point in time don't understand what exactly are the issues, and so now we're going to fill in the blank. And here's how the Braisa now reads. If I fruit that left chum and it was bishogeg, you can eat it. If it was bemez, you can't eat it. Bamed varmamorim shelo bimkoman. That's only if it's out of its original spot. Meaning, so the fruit by accident were taken out of chum. By accident. Okay. Now, by the way, who's eating it? Just give me a moment. Not yet. Because this is, let's put the thread together. And then afterwards, I'll definitely pause. Who's going to eat it? So, okay, that's a bit of a difficulty. Maybe somebody whose tchum allowed him to go to that area. Okay, whatever. Point is, it was taken out b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. Taken out b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. That's b'medram m'shlo bim kamam, aval bim kamam, afilo b'mezid, yochlu. But once it's brought back into tchum, and I don't care why it was brought back. It was brought back b'shogeg, it was brought back b'mezid, it does not matter. Once it's brought back, you're allowed to eat it. That's the Tanakama. And now we could say it. And who's that? That's Rav Papa. That's exactly Rav Papa's point. That when the fruit go out and come back in, irrespective of shogeg, mezid, in other words, it's a fruit, it's anus. And so therefore you're allowed to eat it once it comes back. That's the Tanakama. And now we could basically take Rav Papa and hang his hat on the position of the Tanakama. And then we have Reb Nechemya, and Reb Nechemya argues, and now we know what he's arguing on. He's arguing on exactly this point. And Reb Nechemya says, no, if the fruit comes in back in b'shogeg, yes. But if the fruit comes back into tchum b'mezid, no, you can't eat the fruit. So b'mezid lo. So that is right now what we are going to propose as our first shot of the braisa. Now, it took us a while to get here because the chaser mechzra, and we had to fill in the blank, but once we filled in the blank, we have now a way to understand the braisa, and now based on this understanding, we can defend Rav Papa, because Rav Papa, who says that the fruit that was carried out and brought back in, even if it was bemezid, the fruit's going to be mutter, is because the fruit's an anus, just like our Mishnah of the guy who was forced out and forced back in. So therefore, we have now a defense of Rav Papa. The Gemara says, lo, Bemezed bimkomam dekolei amalo pligi da'aser. The Gemara says, I can give you a different pshat in the Braisa altogether, and based on the second pshat of the Braisa, we don't have a support for our papa. Let's start off with the following. If the fruit came back into the tchum, bimezed, according to everybody, it's aser. Okay? And so therefore, where is the machlokus between the Tanakam and Reb Nechemya outside of the Tchom? Tanakam says, if the fruit went out left Tchom, b'shogeg, it was an accident. The person who picked up the fruit and carried it outside forgot that it was Shabbos, forgot about Tchom Shabbos. He was a shogeg. There was no callous. He forgot. He should have remembered, but there was no intent to violate Shabbos. So then the fruit can be eaten out there again. Who's going to eat it? Good. That's an issue. But in other words, the fruit can be eaten. And also, come on, Reb Nechemya Savar, Afilu Shogeg, Bimkama Mishlo, Bimkama Lo. And Reb Nechemya is saying no. That once the fruit's outside of Tchum, I don't care how it got there. Bishogeg bemezid. Once the fruit's outside of Tchum, can't eat it. It's off limits. The fruit is off limits. It's only when the fruit are brought back in, and according to Reb Nechemya, it's brought back in bishogeg. Then and only then can the fruit be eaten. Okay, I'm really sorry. I appreciate your patience. V'hamidiktani seifa. The Gemara says that's the second pshat of the Braisa, and that would have been a good pshat in the Braisa. The problem is, read on in the Braisa. V'hamidiktani seifa. Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov armim laolim asurim ashiachzur limkomam. Shogegin, so it will be aser until it returns back to its spot. Shogegin, b'mezid lo. So that means that Reb Nechemya says that it comes back in b'shogeg, then and only then is going to be permitted. Now, if that's Reb Nechemya's position, so then what's the Tanakhama's position? Mechlal the Tanakhama suffer b'mezid namishare. It sounds like the coin to the Tanakhama, if it's brought back in, even b'mezid, it would be mutter. So now, although we wanted to give a second pshat on the Braisa, the Gemara says it's not going to work based on the Hemshech HaBraisa. So therefore, what we're left with is the first pshat in the Braisa, Shma Mina. Now that we have a first pshat in the Braisa, so now we're good with Rav Papa. Because now Rav Papa, who said that fruit that was taken out and brought back in, and it does not matter, Shogeg, Mezid, it's going to be Mutter. So now Rav Papa is going like the Tanakama, and which is the Halacha. Okay. Yes.
How could they carry anything without it?
So we'll go back to Hedy's point, meaning, let's say it's on Yontif. So on Yontif, you're allowed to carry.
So this is not a Shabbat issue?
I mean, correct. In other words, right. On Shabbos, it would be difficult, although, with creativity later on this morning, not much later, we're gonna talk about on Shabbos as well. But right now, to make it simple, Yontif is really the easiest answer to how can you have a tchum issue and be allowed to carry? Answer Yontif. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman and Mishmuel Hayimalach Veni Yodiyat Tchum Shabbos. Okay. Quick halacha, according to Rav Nachman and Mishmuel, let's say you're walking and you don't know Tchum Shabbos, meaning in an established city, there are going to be signs posted outside the city. Ad Kan Tchum Shabbos. We're going to talk later on about how to measure Tchum Shabbos and the ropes, and we touched on it earlier in the Masechta. Fine. But let's say you're not there, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you're walking, and you want to know Tchum Shabbos. So, Mahal Chapayim Pesios Beinanis, Vizui Tchum Shabbos. Right? So, and I know runners have, you know, ways of counting how many steps they've taken. Pedometer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, so here, obviously, you can't use a pedometer. So, but what you do is, you take 2,000 medium-sized steps. Okay, and that's it. Tchum Shabbos, that's 2,000 amos. Right? We're basically estimating. We're giving some sort of approximation for this person who doesn't know what his 2,000 amos are going to be. And you got to obviously keep count for 2,000 steps. Okay, it's a long time to stay concentrated and focused. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Shmuel. Shabbos bebika v'ikifu nachrim mechitza b'shabbos. Okay, now, here we go. Really interesting discussion coming up. I don't know how much halacha l'maisa we're going to get out of this, but it's a really interesting discussion. Rav Nachman and Shmuel says the following. Let's say you started Shabbos in the middle of a valley, not enclosed. So in other words, you're not only in the middle of nowhere, but you're literally nowhere. No walls around you. You're not in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You're out there. And so Shabbos begins. Now, so where Where are you limited to? You're limited to 2,000 amos from the point that you're standing. Good. And then on Shabbos, I know it's a hard case to envision, but again, just let's deal with the concept. On Shabbos, along comes non-Jews and builds a fence around you. A huge fence around you. Okay? And so now on Shabbos, it turns out that you're within a Rishus Yachid. Now, we've learned together already a number of times that walls that are made on Shabbos are walls. They are recognized walls. Rishus Yachid does not... Any enclosed area is a Rishus Yachid. As long as there are walls around it, or it's Rosh HaPesach, which is obviously what we do around our cities, it is a Rishus Yachid. Okay, Karpov. Okay, stay tuned. Okay? In fact, by the way, that's a great Rashi. Rashi is sensitive to your point. Rashi says that when the non-Jews built it, they built it for the point of residential purpose. Okay, fine. Shabbos bebikavi kifu nachru mechitza b'shabbos malach apayim ama umetalta bekula. So what you could do is as follows. As far as your tchum is concerned, your tchum went unchanged. Meaning, those walls around you cannot give you more room to walk. You start off Shabbos with a makom shvisa and a circumscribed tchum, and that remains despite the fact that you have walls around you. But, fascinating, you can carry within the entire enclosed area. Now, what if the entire enclosed area exceeds your 2,000 amot tchum? So that's fine. So you pick up the baseball and you throw it to the wall. Fine. And now, I mean, I'm sorry, and the Gemara says, "Umetalta b'kulai deizrika." Okay, you talk about a real brain teaser, meaning try this quiz at home. Give me a scenario where on Shabbos I can carry more than I can walk. Okay? In other words, without today's daf, it'd be an impossible riddle. And the answer is that you start off Shabbos with no walls around you, and then on Shabbos walls were built around you, exceeding 2,000 amos, wider than your 2,000 amos tchum, and now you have it. You have now, I can't walk beyond my 2,000 amos, but I can carry beyond my 2,000 amos because I'm within a Rishus Yachid. So how am I going to carry? Meaning I'll throw. I'll throw it to that area. That is the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Or from this...
Huh? Not your things.
Right, another... Correct. Another excellent point is that if it's not an item owned by you, so then that item also is circumscribed within your tchum. Good. Rav Huna Amar Mahalach HaPayim Amar Umetalta Dala Amas. Now Rav Huna says, no. No meaning what? No on what? No on the carrying. Meaning the you can walk 2,000 amos. Meaning before the walls were built, you could walk 2,000 amos. The walls are not going to take away your license to walk. You can walk within your 2,000 amos, but in terms of carrying, dalet amos, and that's it. Why? V'nitalta b'kol ha'idei zrika. The Gemara wants to know. Yeah, why? Why should that be? So shema yimshach ha'cheftzo. Because you know. You throw the baseball, it goes outside of tchum, you're within an enclosed area, you're going to be tempted to go and pick up the ball and bring it back to within your tchum. So ba'apai mi'alitalta ki'orchei. So the Gemara now wonders, all right, so but why not say this? Why not say that you can walk within 2,000 amos and you can carry within 2,000 amos? Meaning, shouldn't that be okay? So the Gemara says we're going to have to go back and remember what we learned earlier. When I have two rishuyos that are next to one another, one rishus I can carry, one rishus I can carry, and they are nifritz of bimloa, they're open to one another, not a Pesach, but they're open to one another, I can't carry in the area that I can carry, I also can't carry in the area that I normally could carry. So in other words, nifritz of bimloa tells us that the area within the wall that I can carry obviously is aser. The area within the wall that I could carry is also going to be aser. Okay, so now, in the very bizarre scenario where I start off Shabbos with no walls, I'm in a bika, and then walls were built around me, and the walls exceed my 2,000 amas. Okay, so now what's the halacha? In terms of where I can walk, we all agree. Same 2,000 amas. In terms of carrying, we have...
Does some davening location changes? The 9th and 12th grade girls will be in 205, 206. 10th and 11th grade girls in 211 to 12.
That's here.
And the Chabad Minyan today will be in room 203.
Okay.
Again, the Chabad Minyan today in room 203, 10th and 11th grade girls in rooms 211 and 212, 9th and 12th grade girls in rooms 205 and 206.
I got it.
We'll start in a few minutes.
Perfect. Okay. I know. Chia Barav. Okay, so good. So, right. What a awkward place. Yeah, open it. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Now, basically, let's just finish off this discussion. We have now this very bizarre scenario. We have two opinions in the Gemara. Shmuel says you can carry through it within the entire Shus Yachid. You can't walk there. You throw it over there. And Rav Huna says no. You can only carry within your Dalai Lamas. And that's it. Walking, you can walk to 2,000 Amas. Carrying, no more than 2,000 Amas. Now, what about a compromise position? Great, we have a compromise position. Good? No, not good. Terrible. Well, usually we love compromise. Not here. Here, compromise is no good. The Gemara says, because you can't, and this issue, you can't be in the middle. So, I'm sorry, and let me point this out. Why can't you be in the middle? Because once you acknowledge that some of this area is forbidden to you, so then the entire area is forbidden to carry. Right? It's nifritz of bimloa, meaning once you accept Rav Huna's basic premise, so you have to conclude like Rav Huna. I can't carry within my 2,000 amas. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, so what Rav Chiya Barav, you know what he's doing? He's agreeing to Rav Huna. So Ema v'cheinam Rav Chiya Barav. So the Gemara says, okay, v'chein, similarly. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna lo tif lagala de Shmuel. So now the Gemara says, look, really, don't argue with Shmuel on this issue. D'tanya kavasei d'tanya. The Gemara says, look at the following brace, and we'll finish today with this. Hiya modeid uva vechalta midasa bechatzia ear mutalatalta bekola ear kula vavashul yavar satchum beraglav. Let's say you're measuring your tchum. Your tchum ends in the middle of a city. So now what's the halacha? You can't go past your tchum, even though your tchum ended in the middle of a city. So you can't. No, you didn't start a Shabbos in the city. You started outside the city. And that became your Makam Shvisa. And now as you're measuring your 2,000 Amos, you find, where does it end? Right in the middle of the city. I can't walk past that point in the city. I know it's a strange conclusion, but that's the halacha. But I can carry through the entirety of the city. Again, riddle, how are you doing that? How are you dezrika? You throw. So Bemai, Metalta, Lava, Yidei Zrika. The Gemara again answers our riddle. How are you doing that? You're doing that through Zrika. So I'm Rav Huna, lo Yidei Meshicha. So Rav Huna says, no. All the Braisa means is you could be Moshech, which means that if there's an item immediately in front of you at that demarcation point in the city where I can't walk, and there's an item right outside it, so I can drag the item in. But there's no way I can take an item and throw it out. Okay, good. So we'll stop over here. So once again, a funny way to end off the daf, but it's such a great riddle. Really, like you will, without today's daf, you will stump, you'll stump a lot of people. Again, we start the fourth parak of Erevin today. We talked about Tchum Shabbos, an introduction with what happens if you're taken outside of Tchum, you're stuck. If you're taken out and dragged back in, you get to re-engage, re-establish your original tchum, and a lot of discussion today regarding the parameters of this halacha. Okay, we'll obviously continue tomorrow on Shabbos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.